Gideon is one of those characters in God's Word we all, I believe, like to read about. The way God used him and enabled him to overcome the enemy of God's people. An enemy that, humanly speaking, was stronger and had greater numbers than Israel. Appeals to that which is within us, where we like to see the victory of the weak over the strong. Gideon's victory over the Midianites is a David and a Goliath-like scene. Israel were weak. And we can say that they were weak in every possible way. They were physically weak. They had few in numbers. The Midianites had come into the land and they had taken over. They had taken Israel's crops. They had destroyed the land. They came in such vast numbers. And so Israel were physically weak. But Israel were not only physically weak, but they were also spiritually weak. Because we read here of how many of them served the God of Baal. And this was the environment that God took Gideon from obscurity. And with just a handful of men, just 300 men, he enabled him to defeat the Midianites. The Midianites that filled the land at that time like grasshoppers for multitude. And so, the account of how God used Gideon is one that is exciting. And it has a certain attraction about it. However, as God appears to Gideon for the first time, Gideon shows some hesitation in serving God. And he even displays a certain degree of unbelief. In verse 11, we see what Gideon is doing when the Lord comes to speak to him. It says there, "And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash, the Abiezrite. And his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites." When God came to speak to Gideon, he was hiding. He was threshing wheat. And he was hiding from the Midianites in case they would come and take it. Then it tells in verse 12 that the angel of the Lord appeared unto Gideon. It says, "And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thy mighty man of valor." In verse 11 it tells us the angel of the Lord sat under an oak. And so the angel of the Lord was there, but Gideon wasn't aware of the angel of the Lord. But in verse 12, the angel of the Lord made himself known unto Gideon. Revealed himself to Gideon. The message that the angel of the Lord had for Gideon was that he was a mighty man of valor. And the angel of the Lord wanted Gideon to go forth and to bring victory to the people of Israel. But Gideon is not convinced. For he says to this angel in verse 15, and he said unto him, "O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house." Gideon could see no reason why the Lord would choose him. He speaks here about his poor condition. He speaks here about his low estate in Israel. And so he argues with the angel of the Lord. He says, "Why would someone choose me to go out and to lead God's people into victory?" But then something happens in Gideon's life. Something that changed him. And we can say that Gideon was never the same again. What happened to Gideon is he was brought to see the truth of real peace. He was brought to see the truth of real peace. He is brought to see the truth of the peace of God. God was asking Gideon to go out and fight for him and bring peace once again to Israel. To deliver Israel from under the heel of their enemies so that they might live in peace. But Gideon says, "I am the least in my father's house. I am not able for this." Gideon argues quite simply that he is too weak. He's not fit for the task. The Lord shows himself to Gideon. He shows himself to Gideon in the most miraculous way. And we have it between verses 21 and 23. And it is after Gideon has this tremendous experience that he's a changed man. He's a different man. In verse 24 we see what he does. It says, "Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom." Gideon now builds an altar. And he called the name of the altar Jehovah Shalom, which of course means the Lord, our peace. You see, what Gideon was led to see here was peace for Israel. Peace for him. It was not found in his own ability. It wasn't found in his own strength. But peace for Israel from the hand of their enemies was found in God. It was found in Jehovah Shalom. This realization changed the whole course of Gideon's life. From this moment, he started to serve God. From this moment, he was a changed man. If we were to read the following verses here, from verse 25 on, we can see what Gideon does. He throws over the altar of Baal. He cuts down the grove to Baal. He now is a courageous man. He now is a valiant man. Before he was in hiding. Before he says, I am not fit for the task. I am too weak. I am insignificant in Israel. But God shows him that he is Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace. And after that, he is a different man, a changed man. And he goes forward to serve God. What a difference is made in this man's life when Jehovah Shalom is revealed unto him. And that truth still stands today. If we are to enjoy peace in our lives, if we are to enjoy peace with God and peace in eternity, then we must know Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. Peace is what so many desire in our day and generation. In fact, it is set forth as a great goal and aspiration of nations. Humanitarian organizations, they're all seeking for peace. And so many governments are seeking for world peace. And that's what they labor, that's what they work for. They set it forth and it's peace that they want. And peace at all cost, it seems to be. But how few gave any thought to the only one who can bring real peace? Jehovah Shalom. Tonight, this is what I want us to consider. Jehovah Shalom. The Lord our peace. What was it that brought Gideon to this great realization? What took place in this man's life that changed him to the degree that he seen the truth of Jehovah Shalom? What happened to this man? Well, firstly, Gideon was brought to see the truth of Jehovah Shalom because of the revelation he had been given. When the angel came to Gideon that day while he was threshing wheat, as he hid from the Midianites, Gideon received a great revelation. We don't know anything about Gideon before this point. The Bible doesn't say anything about this man. But I believe that we can see here that he was a man that was seeking to live for God. He was a young man seeking to live for God in a wicked and in a sinful generation. The angel of the Lord says to him in verse 12, "The Lord is with thee, my mighty man of valor." This seems a strange thing to say, saying Gideon was at this particular time in hiding. He was afraid. He was trying to protect his crops from the Midianites or what he had gleaned from the Midianites. But I believe it shows us something of his desire of heart. God said unto him, "The Lord is with thee." It shows us that he had a heart to serve the Lord. The Lord would only be with that person who has a heart for God and a heart that desires after God. In verse 13, Gideon speaks of the truth that God had been with Israel in the past. And if we were to read verse 13, we could see and feel the yearning of his heart that God would be with him once again. He knows the truth of God. He knows that his God is a miraculous God, and he has that desire that God would arise and save and heal his people again. So Gideon is a young man that is seeking and desiring salvation. And you know that person? That is this heart, this state of heart after God, will have a revelation of God. The person that seeks after God, God will reveal himself to them. Christ says, "Ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you." Let me say this tonight. If you come to God and you say, "Lord, speak to me," God will speak to you. God desires to speak to you. God wants us to have hearts that are receptive to his truth. Hearts that long after God's word. Hearts that long after God. And that is the state of heart that we ought to have as we come to God's house. We ought to come to God's house praying, "Lord, I want you to speak to me. I want you to draw near to me and to speak to me. And to teach me things out of your word." And so Gideon had this heart that yearned after God. We think of this revelation Gideon had. We could say it's an undeserved revelation. Israel had rebelled against God. In verses 7 to 10, God caused Israel to see how undeserving they were. It says there, and it came to pass when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, and brought you forth out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drave them out from before you, and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God, fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwelt. But ye have not obeyed my voice. What was God saying? He had sent this prophet unto them. And what was God saying to them? You deserve nothing. That's what God was saying. I have done so much, and I've been so gracious towards you. And yet, you've rebelled against me. You've sinned against me. You have not obeyed my voice. God was saying, you don't deserve anything. That's what God was saying. The calamity that had befallen them was the direct result of their sin. If they had walked in God's ways and obeyed His voice, they would have not been in this terrible position that they find themselves in. And so God appearing to Gideon and giving him this revelation of hope and peace was something that was totally undeserved. Israel, because of their sin, deserved nothing from God. Do you know how God reveals Himself to men today? How does God reveal Himself to us? He does so in the gospel. Through His word. And as the gospel is preached, God reveals Himself to man. And yet when we consider our own sin, how undeserving we are of that revelation. How undeserving we are of the message of the gospel. There are so many in Ulster, and they are just like the people in Gideon's day. They know the truth. And yet they sin against the full light of gospel truth. The gospel is so familiar to them. And they could tell you all the truth of the gospel. But what do? They reject the gospel. And they oppose the gospel. And they turn away from the Christ of God. And they go their own way. Perhaps that's you tonight in God's house. God is revealing Himself to you. And yet you oppose Him. But yet here you are tonight in God's house once again. What is God doing? God is revealing the gospel unto you once again. Why? Because He's Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace. And He seeks for your peace. Peace for your soul. Well, this revelation that Gideon had, it was an undeserved revelation. It was an unexpected revelation as well. In verse 13, we see how Gideon is not expecting God to reveal Himself. It says in verse 13, And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then has all this befallen us? And where be all His miracles, which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? Now the Lord hath forsaken us, and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. You can hear the dejection in Gideon's voice. The Lord has forsaken us. What really is seen here is that Gideon sees the situation as hopeless. You know, if we put ourselves into Gideon's shoes for just a moment, what a sad situation he faces. Here he is, he's in hiding. He's threshing the wheat that he has been able to harvest. Whatever hasn't been destroyed, he's threshing it and he's in hiding. He knows the word of God. He knows that God said that He would give to Israel a land flowing with milk and honey. But here he is. He's hiding. He's fearful. In verse 6 it tells us the miserable state of the whole land of Israel. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. It was an impoverished land. It was a poor state. And as Gideon thinks upon these things, he says, we are forsaken. But you see what it was. We see the point that Gideon had reached here. He had reached the point where he seen that there was no hope for Israel. Israel could not save themselves. When he reached that point, God unexpectedly revealed Himself to him. God came. God manifested Himself. You know, in the account of the prodigal son, we read, and when he came to himself. When did he come to himself? When he was eating the pig's food. It was then that the revelation of his father's love suddenly dawned in his heart. You see, it's only when we realize our own lostness, our own hopelessness, that Jehovah Shalom shall suddenly appear and make himself known. My friend, if you in some way think tonight that you can earn your salvation and you can merit God by your own efforts and by your own works, then you'll never know Jehovah Shalom. Man must get to that point where he sees that he is utterly hopeless, to the point where he sees that in his sin he is forsaken of God. And then God unexpectedly will make himself known and reveal himself. Jehovah Shalom shall be seen only in those circumstances. If you think in any way that you can provide peace between you and God by your own efforts, you will never know. You will never know Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. But if you come to Christ in your sin seeking forgiveness, acknowledging that you have nothing, no merit before God, then unexpectedly, God will reveal himself to you in the gospel. The woman with the issue of blood came in all her need. She had great need. She was greatly impoverished. She was physically poor. Her health deteriorated over many years because of her condition. We can say she was spiritually poor because of her condition. She couldn't come to the temple. She couldn't worship with the rest of God's people. She was financially poor because she had spent much to try and find a remedy to her condition. So she was a poor woman. And in her poverty, she came and she said, "If I but touch the hem of his garment." And you know, when she touched the hem of the garment, what happened? Christ revealed himself to her. He made himself known. And tonight, if you come in all of your need as a sinner in that way and just touch the hem of his garment, just say, "Lord, save me." Christ, in a marvelous way, will reveal himself to your heart. And you will find the King of Peace. And so we see here it was unexpected revelation. It was an undeserved revelation. Notice also it was an unrealized revelation. Because verse 22 tells us, "And when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, 'Alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face.'" Gideon did not realize who he was speaking to here. Perhaps he thought it was a traveler or even a prophet. But it was neither. And after the sacrifice is consumed in verse 21, he sees this messenger as the angel of the Lord. Before this happens, Gideon is unaware who he's speaking to. Who is the angel of the Lord? The angel of the Lord is Jesus Christ. That's who the angel of the Lord is. Gideon here meets the Son of God. And what is an Old Testament revelation of the coming Savior? It's a Christophany or Theophany. Christ manifesting himself in the Old Testament. And this is made very clear in verse 14. For we read there in the opening words, "And the Lord looked upon him." We could read, "And Jehovah looked upon Gideon." It was the Lord Jesus Christ here that made himself known to Gideon. And this is why Gideon uses this name, Jehovah Shalom. He realizes that the one that has manifested himself here is the Christ of God, is the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2 and 14 tells us, "For he is our peace." Romans 5 and 1 says, "For we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." You see, Gideon only comprehended the peace of God when he had the revelation of Christ. And that is something that we must see here. When did Gideon see peace? When did Gideon realize the peace of God? When he seen it in the face of Christ. And that is where we will find peace. That is the only place where man can find peace between God and himself. It is in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is Jehovah Shalom. He is the Lord our peace. And that is the only ground of peace. That is the only place where we can find peace. And so this was an unrealized revelation that he had here. When he realized it was Christ, it was then that he said, "Jehovah Shalom." The Ark of Noah's Day is a great picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Noah and his family were safe in the Ark when the wrath of God was poured upon the world, and when the flood came and all the peoples of this world were in turmoil, when they were drowning and when they were dying, when they were full of distress and agony, Noah and his family were at peace and at ease in the Ark. You see, Christ is the only place where we can find peace for our souls. He is Jehovah Shalom. So therefore we see, getting had this great realization of Jehovah Shalom when he received this great revelation. Then notice, not only did he have this great revelation, but also notice here the propitiation that he's seen. Not only the revelation that he received, but the propitiation that he's seen. In verse 21 it tells us, "Then the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes. And there rose up fire out of the rock and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight." What takes place here is that sacrifice is made. In verse 17, Gideon has asked for a sign so that he will know with certainty what the angel has told him is true. The angel speaks to him, and then he asks for a sign so that I might know what you're saying is really true. He wants evidence. And after getting asked for the sign, he goes and he fetches some food for the angel. And of course, at this time, Gideon is unaware that he's speaking with the angel of the Lord. He still thinks it's a traveler or a prophet. And that is why he asks for a sign. And so when he returns with this food, the flesh, the unleavened bread and the broth, he is instructed by the angel to lay it out upon the rock. Verse 20 tells us, "And the angel of God said unto him, Take the flesh and the unleavened cakes, and lay it upon this rock, and pour out the broth. And he did so." And so the food is spread out upon the rock. And then we see what the angel of the Lord does. Verse 21 tells us, he touched the food with the staff, and fire immediately came out of the rock and consumed the food. Of course, this was a miracle. But what it really was a miraculous sacrifice. And that's what takes place here. It was a miraculous sacrifice. It was propitiation. And that's what happened. What is propitiation? Propitiation means God's wrath is turned away and we enjoy peace with God. And that's what the word propitiation means. God's wrath, God's anger is turned away. And then we come to enjoy peace with God. The sacrifices in the Old Testament all pointed to the cross. The cross of Jesus Christ. And of course, at the cross of Jesus Christ, Christ made propitiation for us. God's wrath was appeased through Christ's suffering. And we now enjoy peace with God because of Christ's work. His work of propitiation. 1 John 2:2 says, "And he is the propitiation for our sins." Our sins begs for the wrath and judgment of God upon our heads. But Christ's sacrifice cries out peace, pardon, and forgiveness on our behalf. And so Christ's work upon the cross was the work of propitiation. And this is what Gideon is brought to see. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord making peace through the work of propitiation. He sees how God makes peace. The offering that Gideon brings is consumed. And Gideon now knows that the one in his presence, he's no ordinary man. As Gideon asks for a sign, he receives what? He receives the sign of propitiation. That sign that taught Gideon a very important lesson. In fact, it is the greatest lesson that any man could ever come to learn. It's a lesson of how we can have acceptance with God. And that's what Gideon is brought to see here, how to have acceptance with God. And that is the greatest of all questions. How can I be acceptable before God? This morning we looked upon forgiveness. And this is just another way of saying it. How can we be forgiven? How can we be accepted by God? Perhaps at this time in your life, you feel, well, there's more important questions in your life. I've got issues about my health. I've got issues about money. I've got issues that surround and deal with my family. I've got issues about these things and those things and the other thing. But you know, it doesn't really matter tonight what other issues you have. Ultimately, this is the all-important question. How can I be accepted by God? How will God accept me and receive me? In the book of Job, Bildad asked the question in Job 25 and 4, how then can man be justified with God? Well, Gideon receives the answer here. In verse 18 it says, Gideon brings his present. The word present, if you have a margin, means offering. And so Gideon brings this prophet, as he thought, an offering. But as the angel of the Lord, as Christ receives his offering, it is made into a sacrifice. A sacrifice consumed by fire. And as Gideon watched that fire consume his offering, he is brought to see the only way he can be accepted by God was through the work of sacrifice. Through the work of sacrifice. We can say of Gideon's offering, it was only made acceptable to God through the work of Christ's sacrifice. It was Christ offered this. Christ touched it by the end of his staff. And this offering that he brought was made acceptable by the work of Christ. How important it is that we understand this vitally important lesson. The only way we as sinners, as unworthy men and women, hiding in our sin, are made acceptable before God is through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Our lives must be touched by the work of Christ. By the sacrifice of Christ. Our lives must be touched by the cross. And what Christ has done in offering up himself a sacrifice to satisfy divine justice for us. To turn the wrath of God away from us. Our lives must be touched by the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have spoke here about how the people of Israel were so undeserving. They were a people that had disobeyed. A people that had rejected God. A people that were serving Baal. And yet God was asking Gideon to go forth and lead them into victory. What had to take place? Sin had to be atoned for before Israel could know this blessing again. God is showing Gideon how sin can be atoned for. Now he can know peace with God before he can know the peace of God in Israel. What a very important lesson this is. The only place we can find peace is the place called Calvary, where Christ has made peace by the shedding of his own precious blood, by the giving of himself as a sacrifice to turn away the wrath of God for us. Jesus Christ is Jehovah Shalom. Why? Because he has made peace through the sacrifice of himself for us. Therefore, if we're ever to experience this peace, if we're ever to know Jehovah Shalom, then we must get to the place called Calvary. And see what Christ has done for us. And come as sinners and say, Lord, I want my life to be touched by what you have done for me. I want you to cleanse my sin away. I want to know thy peace. Peace of God that passes all understanding. And so Gideon is led to see Jehovah Shalom because of this great revelation that he was given, because of the propitiation that he's seen. And then finally, we see that he was led to see Jehovah Shalom through the declaration that he received. The declaration that he received. Verse 23 tells us, and the Lord said unto him, peace be unto thee. Fear not, thou shalt not die. The declaration that he receives here is but a verbal confirmation of all that he has witnessed. He realizes the one who speaks to him is no ordinary man. He sees the offering that is made for him. And now he hears this great declaration. Peace be unto thee. Fear not. Thou shalt not die. You know, there was a similar declaration made when Christ arose from the dead. He met with his disciples. And he declared unto them three times in John 20, peace be unto you, peace be unto you, peace be unto you. And so this declaration to Gideon is one that is very significant. We can see here that with Gideon, it follows the same pattern as we see in the Gospels. In the Gospels, what did Christ do? Firstly, he revealed himself. He revealed himself by his birth into this world. Then after he revealed himself, and we can say these are the three great points of gospel truth. Christ revealed himself, Christ made propitiation, then afterwards, Christ declares peace. Three great gospel points, stepping stones. And we see these three stepping stones with Gideon here. First of all, Christ reveals himself as the angel of the Lord. Then he reveals propitiation to him. Then what does he say to Gideon? Peace be unto you. Peace be unto you. The peace that he declares to Gideon here is peace from the consequences of sin. Verse 23 tells us, and the Lord said unto him, peace be unto thee, fear it not, thou shalt not die. Death is the result of sin. God told Adam and Eve that in the day they sinned, they would die. But here Gideon is told by God, thou shalt not die. Gideon has just had this revelation of Christ as the angel of the Lord appeared unto him. And he understands it's a meeting with God, it's a meeting with Jehovah. His own sin and sinfulness then is brought before him, and he realizes his unworthiness. He is unholy. He's in the presence of the just and the holy God of Israel. When he sees something of the glory of God, as the one vanishes out of his sight, Jehovah vanishes out of his sight, he is afraid because of his sin, and he trembles. Then he hears these words, peace be unto you, thou shalt not die. You know, this is the great declaration of the gospel tonight. There is peace. Peace from the consequences of sin, which is death, which is hell, which is the wrath of God. Because Christ has made propitiation, he will come to all tonight who are in Christ, who are saved. And he declares this great message just as he did to the disciples. Peace be unto you. Thou shalt not die. Death, eternal death, will not affect the child of God in any way. Christ declares peace unto us. And you know, it doesn't really matter what happens in this world. It doesn't matter what we face. It doesn't matter what things come into our lives. Nothing can ever change this great reality that we have the peace of God. We shall never be in hell. Legion found this out as he met with Christ. That day Christ made a difference in his life. He was a different man before it. He was a man that was running about cutting himself. He was a wild man. A man of torment and in turmoil. Mark 5 and 15 tells us that he was sitting and he was clothed and in his right mind. He found peace because he met the King of Peace. He met Christ. The declaration of this peace was peace from the consequences of sin. It was also peace of conscience. As we've already read or said here, after Gideon had this meeting with the angel of the Lord, he was a different man. Verse 25 tells us he cut down the grove and he threw over the altar of Baal. Why did he do this? Because his conscience would no longer let him live in this sinful environment. Because he had found the God of peace. Jehovah Shalom was now real to him. There was a change in verse 13. He is doubting almost the things of God. He was saying, our father spoke about how God, our God, was a God of miracles. But where is he? But when we come to verse 25, throws over the altars of Baal, cuts down the grove, because his conscience will not let him live any longer in this state of sin and rebellion. All that stood in opposition to Jehovah Shalom, he threw down and he cast aside. The truth that can be seen here is, if we know Jehovah Shalom, if we have come to experience the peace of God in the gospel, then we will turn from our sin. We will worship only Jehovah Shalom. And that is exactly what Gideon does. He builds an altar to Jehovah Shalom in verse 24. You know, when the gospel was preached at Ephesus, we read in Acts 19 what happened. Many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also, which used curious arts, brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. Why did the people of Ephesus burn their curious books, their idolatrous and wicked books? Because they'd met with Jehovah Shalom. Their lives were changed forever. They could never be the same again. This is the result of Jehovah Shalom. A man's life is completely changed for the glory of God. Can you say tonight, the Lord is my peace? You know, that is the question that faces us as we look at this passage of God's word in closing. Is God your God? Can you say tonight of a truth, Jehovah Shalom, the Lord my peace? God manifests himself to us tonight so that we might know this peace, so that we might have this peace, the peace of God, the peace that Christ has earned for us. What a God we have, the God of peace. If you're not right with God tonight, I would exhort you to seek the God of peace. Come and enter in. Come and be saved. Come and be like the family of Noah in the ark. Be in that place of peace, that when the wrath and the judgment of God comes, you will be safe, and safe for all eternity. May God bless his word to our hearts for his own name's sake. Amen.